Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the American Legion Show. This is Kevin White, your host, your capable and friendly host, trying to get to the bottom of issues. Whatever is going on with this Afghanistan thing, that's what we're going to talk about. But first, broadcasting live from Ohio, the state that's right on the sides of high in the middle, from my studio. You see all the awards on the wall back there if you're watching my video. Also, we're coming around the corner and up your block, like Larry King used to say, get down to the bottom of the nitty-gritty of whatever we're talking about. So tonight, I'd like to talk about Afghanistan. I'd like to know what the Hector Gomez was the president thinking about. First of all, why don't we go with the clip that the president had 3 minutes, you know, digested down to a little bit of what his whole speech was on Sunday. So here we go.
Our mission in Afghanistan was never supposed to have been nation building. It was never supposed to be creating a unified, centralized democracy. Our only vital national interest in Afghanistan remains today what it has always been, preventing a terrorist attack on America's homeland. I've argued for many years that our mission should be narrowly focused on counterterrorism, not counterinsurgency or nation building. So what's happened? Afghanistan political leaders gave up and fled the country. The Afghan military collapsed, sometime without trying to fight. If anything, the developments of the past week reinforced that ending U.S. military involvement in Afghanistan now was the right decision. American troops cannot and should not be fighting in a war and dying in a war that Afghan forces are not willing to fight for themselves. We spent over $1 trillion. We trained and equipped an Afghan military force with some 300,000 strong. It is wrong to order American troops to step up when Afghanistan's own armed forces would not. The political leaders of Afghanistan were unable to come together for the good of their people, unable to negotiate for the future of their country when the chips were down. They would never have done so while U.S. troops remained in Afghanistan, bearing the brunt of the fighting for them. As we carry out this departure, we have made it clear to the Taliban, if they attack our personnel or disrupt our operation, the U.S. presence will be swift and the response will be swift and forceful. We will defend our people with devastating force if necessary. Our current military mission will be short in time, limited in scope, and focused in its objectives. Get our people and our allies as safely as quickly as possible. And once we have completed this mission, we will conclude our military withdrawal. I'm now the fourth American president to preside over war in Afghanistan, two Democrats and two Republicans. I will not pass this responsibility on to a fifth president. I will not mislead the American people by claiming that just a little more time in Afghanistan will make all the difference. Nor will I shrink from my share of responsibility for where we are today and how we must move forward from here. I am President of the United States of America, and the buck stops with me.
Okay, so what did he say in that statement Biden was talking about on Sunday about what happened in Afghanistan? He was talking about the Afghans didn't have the will to fight, and they're the ones who failed. When we're pulling out, and I think one of the problems is, listen, the date was agreed to with the Taliban with May 1st. It wasn't anything after that. And as soon as Biden changed it to another date, which, you know, further along down the line, then that's when things started falling apart. And I'm not saying you can negotiate with the Taliban, not at all. I don't think that's a fair thing to assume. I mean, they are savages, right? They don't care if they kill people and all this other stuff, and they want people to go back to the Stone Age and the women and everything. No rights there, but how worse is it now? You can't blame them for your exit strategy failure, and I think this is what this is all about. So, first of all, they broke the treaty. The second thing that I remember exactly when Biden's Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, made an emergency trip to Afghanistan to figure things out. And it seems like it caught him off guard, off surprise, you know, by surprise. So I can imagine it did, because if you think about it, there was a lot of things going on in D.C. at the time. Not that it's an excuse, but, you know, your Secretary of Defense should have that number one on his radar. And everybody knew this was coming, the May 1st deadline. But I think what happened was, oops, we got to take care of this. So it was like a snowball that started rolling into further, depths of despair and, we can't get this right. So they had to extend the date. Had they gotten on this earlier or followed the plan that was put before them, I think things would have been better. You might think, what can you do to make it better? I think there's a lot of things, and I think General Petraeus had a very good argument when he was asked about it. I think you should consult your general. So I think that General Milley should be held responsible for some of this. But the president, like he says, the buck stops there. And at the same time, you remember, I don't know if you've seen these interviews with the vice president saying that, I was in that room, I'm the last person there, and I supported everything he said. And I happen to have an audio clip of that if you guys want to listen to that. I hope you guys on Facebook can see this or hear this. Here we go.
Well, Vice President Kamala Harris confirmed she played a pivotal role in President Biden's decision to withdraw U.S. troops from Afghanistan in an interview with CNN's Dana Bash on Sunday.
He just made a really big decision. Afghanistan.
Yes.
Were you the last person in the room?
Yes.
And you feel comfortable?
I do. And I'm going to add to that. This is a president who has an extraordinary amount of courage. He is someone who I have seen over and over again make decisions based on what he truly believes, based on his years of doing this work and studying these issues. What he truly believes is the right thing to do. And I'm going to tell you something about him. He is acutely aware that it may not be politically popular or advantageous for him personally. It's really something to see. And I wish that the American public could see sometimes what I see.
Well, she also echoed Biden's reaffirmation on the decision to leave Afghanistan, tweeting, "For two decades, our courageous service members put their lives on the line in Afghanistan. We will always be grateful and proud. Ending U.S. military involvement in Afghanistan is the right decision."
Okay. What did I get from that? I did not hear anything of substance about the actual operation and what happened there. She didn't say anything about plans, or she just talked about the president, what he is as a person and his courage. That's kind of odd to me. There's no strategy there. And this is before it happened. So there's fallout at this point when she made this statement. So now everybody's on them for not doing what they're supposed to do or for not having a real plan. So the thing that gets me about Biden's speech is he puts the blame on everybody else. And, you know, take responsibility. That's the first thing you do. If you can't take responsibility, like, for example, when I was a mechanic in the military, people who worked for me were required. If you didn't take responsibility for something you did wrong, then I am afraid of you. That's something you can't teach or whatever. If you don't have the ability to stomach that and to be honest, then you don't need to be in that responsibility. And we're talking about the president of the United States of America. So I have issues with that. That's kind of scary to me, where you blame something. So where did you get this odd lots, Walmart plan for leaving that country? And you saw how, I remember when all the troops left at 3 a.m., the American troops, without securing anything. And I think that was one of the biggest mistakes he made. You have to have some kind of force there. And if I had a chance to make this plan, what I would do personally, I would make this an enclave so that there would be military people, rotations in there out, not permanently stationed there. It could be a 90-day trip. And trust me, us guys, we loved to do that kind of stuff. You know, when I was in the military, that's the kind of stuff we like to do, little TDYs overseas, you know, showing your might and your power and everything that you know, that's your job. And I'm sure that wouldn't be a problem, as long as it's not. As long as it's not permanent, and that's the whole point. So I am thinking that there's got to be some kind of change, some kind of policy here, and I don't get it.
Just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. But the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who from the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,
beautiful song. Hope y'all can hear me now. I don't know what's going on, but I had the phone in this time. I don't know what's happening. So we were talking about the president's speech and his actions and his plans. And lack of plans, maybe we should say. So, and I've never seen an operation like this. I was in the military 30 years. I've never seen anything that was this bad. And planning and strategy, numbers of people,
troop movements and all the equipment they had, aircraft parts, all that stuff. Those should have been considerations, and it doesn't seem like they were, because you remember, there are thousands of Americans there that were trapped, that were not able to get out. So the troops left before them. Like I was saying before, at 3 a.m., all the troops left. And I thought it was kind of strange. And there's like bare minimum of people there, but that was a decision that they made. And that decision came from the White House or somebody who was operating, you know, for the president. And ultimately, this was his responsibility. He does say the buck stops here, but he's blaming on everybody else. I'm not sure if that's anything that I'd like to see out of a leader. And I don't know where I left off last time, but in my opinion, those kind of people are scary. If you can't own up to responsibility, and like I said before, if you're working on an aircraft, something that dangerous or that responsible or could be deadly, then if you can't own up to a mistake, then you're the wrong person in the job. And I'm going to say the same thing, probably translates to the leader of the free world. If you can't own up to your mistakes, then you don't need to be there. So the problem I have with him is he's not consistent. I mean, I don't know about his foreign policy, whatever his policies are or anything, but you're talking about lies. So look at the people, and I know he said in his speech that he was going to – something about he's the guy who was the guy, the number one person as president for human rights. Well, if that was true, then this wouldn't have happened. And, you know, all these females – he said females and young girls specifically for some reason. I don't know why, but other people have rights as well. He supports their freedom, their rights, but, you know, if it didn't happen, it wouldn't be a problem. They'd still be free and, you know, safe from the Taliban. You can't depend on another person's army or Air Force to make it happen, because you remember 300,000, I believe he said, army troops would be at, you know, the border to defend themselves. Well, things don't work that way sometimes with other countries, foreign nations. And I have experience with foreign military. The Dutch, you know, they're just not, they're Americans. They don't have the same drive. They don't have the same, you know, capabilities that we have. And we have it all in the United States. And we didn't use that. If we had an enclave at the airport, we would be able to drive the Taliban back, or they wouldn't even be there in the first place. So in my opinion, these things were never thought of. And like I said, General Milley has to be part of this. He has to be held accountable himself. He's the big general, and he saw the decisions coming, and I mean, that's his job. And Lloyd Austin, his Secretary of Defense, this should have been his number one priority to make sure this went right. There's a lot of logistics involved in things like this. A lot of negotiations, and you got to take care of your people. You got to take care of the Americans over there and the people that helped. And see, that's the problem. You should not have to do this. You should not have to go in and try to give some kind of something to the people that helped the Americans. They should still be there doing what they were doing before. I mean, it's a sovereign nation. But now it isn't. The president left. The army folded. People are stuck at the airport. People can't even get to the airport because the Taliban is there. So the American in me, the American military in me, says we need to go in there, take care of business. We can't let this 20-year thing fall, because, listen, it's going to be Taiwan next. It's going to be other countries. People are going to make advances on it because they know they can take advantage of the president because he's that weak. He's that weak because he is not a foreign, you know, policy guy. So as far as foreign policy goes, what is his foreign policy? Is it giving bribes and accepting bribes? I don't know. I mean, he's caught red-handed doing those kind of things. But the problem is, I'll get off him for a little bit, but you got to have a plan. always have a plan. And that plan can change. And there's things that will happen, but that's normal. But you have contingencies for them. And I know, and I heard the Pentagon talking about, they had these things in place. But some things happen when they shouldn't have happened. Pulling out the troops before everybody was out was a big mistake. And, you know, people want to get out. This is awful. This is the most terrible thing that could happen to them. They don't have a country anymore. That's the consequences of poor planning that Kamala Harris, if you heard the audio I played, she totally agreed with it ahead of time that this was the right thing to do. In the clip that I played, she had no idea, what the plan was, because she only talked about how great Joe is and what personality he had. So she owns this too. Now she's distancing herself from it. She says, I don't want to have anything to do. You can't pin me on this. That's basically what she said. I have nothing to do with this. Like, she's not the vice president or something. I find that kind of odd. You know, one denies it. The other one jumps away. They both have done the same thing. They shirk their duties and responsibilities. You are the commander-in-chief and the commander-in-chief's, deputy. I mean, you guys, you're the last person in the room. Kamala is. But she can't show it. She can't show that she's a leader like that. As a matter of fact, she had nothing, no plans or no comments on the whole thing, just that she agreed with it. I totally agree. So she got caught in her own words and her own deeds. And if she's, I don't know, I can't see. I'd rather have a president have some kind of military background, at least, or some kind of advisor, strong, that you could sit to. But obviously, they didn't have that. There was no advisor to help them out. I can't see how that could happen. So we lost Bagram Air Base. That's where everybody went TDY there, and I think it could still be that way. I mean, you can still keep all facilities open, and at the same time, you can help out their military on the side. You know, it doesn't have to be somebody permanently there. It could just be somebody there for, 30, 60, 90 days, rotations. And, we love that. The military guys love doing that kind of stuff. Those TDYs, go there, have fun, you see the afterburners take off, and then you come home. It's just something that we love to do. And that's not even a problem. That's not an issue. That way you strengthen their military. Even though we're there 20 years, this is a cultural thing. Not every culture is the same. You can't expect them to be the same as we are. But once you open up that can of worms or that Pandora's box, you have to fix it. And this has to be fixed sometime soon. Is it enough for impeachment? I believe it is. Because this can't go on and on the way this mode is at this point, because it's too dangerous for our allies. People aren't going to trust us anymore. You're just going to leave and nothing? You're not going to leave anything behind to help us? And you let our government collapse? You're going to do that just like you did Afghanistan? See, there's the track record. The track record says, we're getting out. We don't care. We don't have a plan. You're on your own. So you've got all these people trying to get on these aircraft. People were dying to get out. That's how much they believe. By the way, they were all men. That's just a cultural thing as well. So usually we do women and children first. They don't. But that's just the way it is. Not criticizing it, but it's a whole lot better than the Taliban's plan. So a terrorist organization. So I've heard people talk about this, about how this is probably maybe, it's planned. Maybe this is something they wanted all along, and I don't know. I don't know if I buy into that, but there's always a possibility everywhere. Also heard that maybe Joe had bribed and tried to pay, the Taliban to go away. I'm not sure. But you got to think about this. That's a big country. A lot of sand in the sandbox, and they have a lot of rare earth metals. You would think that we would have some kind of minor interest in that. But no, we're totally pulling out, and we don't have a plan, and we have to send troops back in. How embarrassing is that? You have everybody you need there, even though they drew down to 2,500, then to 2,000 a few months ago. They should have they didn't have enough force at the time because they all left. And that was one of the questions they asked at the Pentagon briefing. How come you guys couldn't do this? How come you didn't get this protect the people that are there in the last week? Well, you can't protect them if you don't have the forces. You probably have admins and people putting plans together. You didn't have all those people that we're thinking of with guns and everything and protect everybody, and that wasn't the case. So they had to bring these people back in. That tells me there was no planning. I think the planning is herky-jerky, go as you please. And like I said at the beginning of the show, where the heck did they get this plan from? Hector Gonzalez. Who approved this? This goes deeper than we think. This is far beyond what we see. There's got to be things in the background we don't know about. And these are two dangerous people running this country. Like I said, as a former or always an Air Force guy, I've never seen this, anything this bad. And, you know, we talk about Saigon and Vietnam and everything that happened there. You know, military people learn their mistakes. We study all that stuff about what happened in those other wars. And then, you know, the history and the heritage and everything goes along with it. You can't make the same mistake twice. This is not a good thing for our country, for the world, for our allies, for anybody. This is a great thing for our enemies. This is China. This is Russia. All these. These countries are looking at us, our enemies, and they can't wait. And this is Joe Biden is the best president for China has ever had. They can't wait to get to Taiwan. How's he going to mess that one up? Oh, I think he can. I mean, you can't, there's no excuse. You can't do anything about it. What's going to happen next? Nobody knows. But they have to get their stuff together. My opinion is they need to go. I think they should be removed from office because the damage is already done. I think this is irreparable damage when you don't have a strong leader there. There's no threats, no nothing. It's just, yeah, you got to do this. We got to get this done. And I'm blaming him, her, and everybody else and all the people, you know, and the Taliban. And, well, you knew this was coming. How can this be? How can you let this happen? I mean, it was like it's a slow pitch. But you got to the plate too late. The pitch was already thrown. That's how I see it because things were already at a loss. You know, when the president leaves in January and the deadline's May, you got to work. You got to get that done. You have to have that finished. You can't go changing the dates. You can't tell them when you're going to get out. May 1st was the day. Okay. That was the agreed day. You can't make other dates up. This is why they have this problem because the Taliban promised they would come in if we violated their terms of agreement. And like I said before, you can't really negotiate with the Taliban, but that was the rules. And that's one of the things that a lot of people were worried about. And he just went right ahead and made arbitrary dates. September 11th, August 31st. Here, there, and everywhere. And, you know, things were changed at the last minute, and people didn't have time to react. They didn't have time to get things together. So there's a lot of loose ends and missing pieces. I think I just described his thought processes, not being mean or anything, but this is what I see, how I see it. I'm at a loss for words because of the actions that were taken and no consideration for the people of Afghanistan, for the military people, for the contractors, lack of awareness, the military people that were there, and carrying on, so on, so on, so on, so on. It's been one big giant mess. This is the biggest story, you know, and think about this. Who cares about COVID right now? It's a lot about COVID. There are more serious things. I mean, you can get COVID and knock it off. You shake it off. You have an immune system. Well, they don't have an immune system over there in Afghanistan for the Taliban. They're going to be controlled. They're taking over their whole government. And this is a big coup for them. They have their own country. This is their country right now. And rumors are that they're being supplied by Pakistan, all the intel and all the weapons and everything else, in which I could believe that. But guess what? U.S. is better, bigger, stronger than Pakistan. They're bigger than the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, everybody. U.S. is bigger and stronger. That's why, how are we there 20 years and nothing ever happened? And at the very end, you let everything go. That's not how it works. So at issue here is how things are run, decisions that were made, and how in the world we got here this fast. I mean, it happened overnight. Okay, how can you say you have intel? Trust me, the military intel is unreal, probably better than civilian intel. They knew, they had to know when the borders were crossed. They had to know an estimated time when they would get there. But I think what happened, he was advised, I don't know by who, that the Taliban were like a couple weeks away, maybe a month away. Well, they didn't know. They had armored vehicles. They had everything, horseback or whatever. They got there within 72 hours. Well, maybe a little more. How can you not see that? They just showed up peacefully and everything. You know, they were there. You know, they're here to take care of business. They just took over the government. They took over the country. There is no more Afghanistan because of this. His mama didn't raise him right. There's a responsibility in every job you do. You got to take everything seriously. And I'm going to say, you can be a senator, you can be a congressman, and all you do is vote. There's no responsibility there. Is there really? I have issue with that. They've never been through anything. They make deals. They have insider trading. They make lots of money. Then you want to be president. I have a problem with that. You don't have the right background, in my opinion. You have to have some kind of military background or some kind of school or training or whatever. You have to have, or even corporate. You can have a corporate background. You have a responsibility. It's all about responsibility and doing the right thing. And I don't believe, I know some, I'm wrong about some people, but I don't believe people in Congress and the Senate are there to do the right thing. Some of them are there to get rich. They get power. Power goes to their head. And if you're there 40 plus years, something's not right with you. I think we're looking at the product possibly of term limits not existing. The power, the deals, the bribes, things like that, free from prosecution, working for the right party or with the right people. I think that's what we're talking about right here. This has to stop. So I'm very leery of any politician who's been in that long for any reason. They don't have the people in mind. They don't have your best interest. Citizens are they're peons, right? Like I said on my first show, it's we the people, not we the peons. So who was Joe Biden helping out the most with this plan? Who was the people he was looking out for? It wasn't the Afghans. It wasn't the military. It wasn't the people that helped us. It wasn't the contractors. It wasn't anybody. He actually helped the Taliban. So I'm inverting this for a reason, not that I have a crazy hat on my head. It's just the fact that I can't see any other way to explain it. I mean, the bottom line is, who benefited from this catastrophe? Is it possible? You know, his son is making money from China. China has a big stake in this. China has been ready to pounce on this for a while. So you have to wonder, is China, did he pay them off? Did they pay the president off, or is he part of this, or do they have some kind of alliance that we don't know about? Maybe we should check phone records and bank accounts and things like that. And you know, his son was involved in that. And what else could it be? Nobody messes up that bad, or do they? Is he that inept But remember, who is the customer here? Everybody has a customer. And this customer isn't us. It's not the United States. It's not the military. It's nobody that I mentioned before. His customer is himself. And that's the way he's been his entire career. His customer. Surely not black people. Of course not. He wants to put us back in chains. Well, that's the statement he made. But, you know, that's a whole other issue. That's a whole other show. I don't want to get involved in that at this point. But you have to wonder what's going on behind the scenes. The people he picked for his cabinet positions, they're all from the Obama administration. So maybe in different positions, but we got Janet Yellen taking bribes. We got a Chinese sympathizer. Well, probably four or five of them in the Senate and the House. Nothing happens to them. Joe has a poor track record for, I'm not even going to say, you know, besides the sexual harassment and I think there's like five or six cases still out there that people keep ignoring. They don't believe her, but she's got a poor track record helping the people. But he's Joe from Scranton. He's just a regular guy. So regular guy with five mansions. So the whole point is, who does Joe work for? Who's the agent he's loyal to? Who's the guy telling him what to do? Is it Obama, like I mentioned earlier? I don't know. Who knows? All I know is it didn't work this time for us. It wouldn't work out. So this is the dangerous slope. Maybe the 25th Amendment? I don't know. But all I know is he needs to get out. He's a danger to our country. He's a threat. He's a threat to countries all over the world. I mean, people that we help. We have a lot of people around the world, a lot of countries we help. And if it's advantageous to somebody else, why would it be Afghanistan? Because there's China. There's Iran. There's Russia. All these Stan countries, they're all right there. That's a pretty strategic place to have a presence. If we have a presence there, they're not going to attack us. As far as I know, there's nothing we have there. Everything's gone. There's no deterrent. And they're flying Navy ships from the coast, from the sea, to do strikes. Well, they were. I'm not sure what the status is of that now, but there's nothing there. So the Taliban comes in when they know there's nothing there. They know there's nothing there because they read the news just like we do. We're pulling troops out. Announce everything, and they know too. Make it a secret operation. They don't know. Do you know they put like decoys, fake aircraft on flight lines so the satellites can see them, and they think that the planes are there. Now, that may be old technology, but it worked. We don't have to tell everybody on CBS News or CNN what's going on. All this stuff should be classified. Our dates for leaving? President Trump said by May 1st. He didn't say when. He's having a cow right now about this situation. He believes that Biden should be removed from office. And by virtue of agreeing with the plan, so should his vice president. I'm not saying Nancy should take over. Oh, goodness, no. But she actually says, remember, she said, I believe that Biden acted very wisely in Afghanistan. And I'm thinking, what in the world? Did you see the same thing I saw? What are you thinking? Is this really what your thoughts are? Or if they are your thoughts, or those are California values that you talk about a lot, is that what this is? And we don't need you in office. You're 80-something years old. There's other people. If you gave them a chance with the voting machines, without the voting machines, then they could be in your position now. Why do you have to hold on to power that long? Is there something behind that? I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's, I don't know, maybe secret crates carrying people or whatever. Who knows? Maybe that's why they don't keep the border closed. And this is why we're bringing all these people in. Tell me in one breath that we should all be vaccinated, but then you open the gates, the border, to bring all these unvaccinated or COVID positive, thousands and thousands of COVID positive people That's our government. That's how they talk out both sides of their mouths. They don't care about children. You want to vaccinate my child at 7, 8, 9, 10 years old? But you want to support abortion. That makes no sense. This is not a zero-sum game. This makes no sense at all. Are you that really that concerned? And when people, like the LoveGov is behind a lot of deaths, COVID patients in nursing homes, that's unreal. So, you know, there's this syndrome that you get. You think you're the king. You think you're of this country. You think you can do whatever you want. Oh, by the way, why are you on vacation when this happens? You know what's going on. Both of you are on vacation. Press secretary is on vacation, which I didn't know they actually took vacations. I would think it'd be a 24, everyday job. And you get your backup. There's no backup. You don't answer questions at your press conference. I think that's pretty bad. That's as bad as it gets. Not taking the blame, not answering questions, not really caring. Not saying, thanks to troops and I'm sorry, people in Afghanistan. You've been there. Well, he claims he's been there. I don't know. A lot of people say things that aren't really true, and it's just for votes or whatever. But this is a test that he clearly failed, and I can't see any other way to explain this. This is a test, and that's what your job is. Every job you do is a test. If you can't live up to it, and eventually they're going to let you go. So you can't.
I mean, shit. How would you treat me like? I would have treated him like he wasn't there anyway. So that's fine. I'll miss him, and he can do the same thing at Drew too if he wants to.
So we have issues. He has issues more than we do. What are his scruples? I don't understand. I mean, why do you want to be president? I'm not against age discrimination, but you've been in government for 50 years. 50 years. That's a long time. You are so warped. I was in government for 25 years as a federal employee, but we had to work. We had to do things. And we were graded on it, and we had a responsibility. It's not like being an elected politician. They have nobody looking over them. They have no accountability. So you're looking at a guy who had no accountability, did whatever he wanted, got away with everything, and now is the president. That's probably the most dangerous combination I can think of. So unless you're a terrorist or you've compromised, I don't know. Nobody knows. We don't keep track of these people or what they do. We just let them go. We give everybody a top secret clearance. It took me automatically, 6 months minimum. And they talked to everybody I knew, and I was in the military. They talked to all my friends, my friends' friends, and I gave them names, and they talked to people I didn't even know they talked to. They would talk to me later. Hey, I talked to the investigator, and it's very rigorous. When I already had a secret clearance at the time, it's harder for a military guy to get to the same level than it does a congressman. They just grant it to them. And that's probably one of the most things. I think that's right. That right there, and Mike Cullert would agree with me, that is where the big window was left open. Make them go through, because a lot of these people that are there right now would not pass it if they did it honestly. They would not be allowed to sit. And they're on these big committees, and they're loving the Chinese on the side, and they're taking bribes. I'm assuming this is similar to President Biden in his past, because he even talked about stuff like that on video. He had no problem talking about it. He'll deny it. I mean, that's the other thing. If you deny things that are obvious, and this is another example, when he talked about holding $1 billion from another country, unless they fired a prosecutor, if you say that didn't happen, that's deeper than anything I can think of. That's deeper than the Atlantic Ocean. Wrong. You're literally lying to people, and you're okay with that. I have serious issues with that. That is not something anybody should be comfortable with. But if you've done it for years and years, this is my point. Term limits would have stopped a lot of things that happened in this country. And fight up things, you know, requirements for congressmen and senators. They should have the hardest, the highest, whatever, links to jump. They should be at the top. Same with the president. You become president? No, let's do a security check first. Let's do a clearance before we do this. Why? Because it's that important. You make me president, I require everybody in Congress to be tested, security clearances. Why? I just told you, it's that important. This is part of the Swiss cheese in our government, in our DOJ, and all these other, you know, parts of the government where it's not working. It doesn't work for the people. The government's supposed to work for the people, not the people for the government. And that's why we have all these problems now. If you look about like all these things where the CDC is the god of our country, nobody has a choice to take ivermectin. Nobody has a choice to take other drugs. It's got to be the vaccine. That's a whole other show. I don't want to get into that right now. But think about it. They have taken over. We the people, just like other countries, they're taking over there too. We the people are now servants of our government because the Constitution is being lost. And that's what this comes down to. It's all about the Constitution. That's what this show is about. How do we fix this? I don't know. How do we fix this unconstitutional president and his vice president? The decisions they make, how do we fix this? Do we bring in another president? I think we should. That's just my opinion. I mean, it's too late right now. I mean, the clock's already run out. We can't have this guy in any longer. The damage is already done. It's been done 10 times over, and it's echoing all over the world. Everybody can hear it. People are plotting ways to take over other countries because they know this guy won't do anything. He doesn't even have a clue. I mean, you can't tell 75 days from 75 hours. And then here they are knocking at your door, and you're surprised. You don't even come out of your vacation. That's incredible. This is an incredible story, and it's kind of hard for me to believe this is actually happening right now. This is like, it's almost like a movie or something. I can't believe this actually happened on a military base. A lot of my friends have been there. They've gone, you know, they were stationed there, whatever. I can't believe this has happened. I'm in shock every day just thinking about it. And then all this happened, and then there is no more Afghanistan. On one day, Afghanistan went down. The president gave up. Our president wasn't there, wasn't present. He didn't do anything to help. We had no defense. It just fell apart. Because nobody cared, and he still doesn't care. He's just a sidekick. Kamala Harris doesn't care what happened. Let's talk to her. She doesn't want anything to do with it. But guess what? You signed up for this job. You wanted those votes, and you got in, and you got to deal with it now. You got to drink whatever, drink the wine or whatever it's called. You own this because she said that she was for it, and she's totally with the president on it. She owns this now. So try to bring her up. Try to put her in the office to replace him. I don't think so. She's just as negligent as he is. She has no mind of her own. She can't figure these things out. She doesn't know. I don't think she does. I mean, if you have no background like that, what else do you know what to do? You got to put people in jail in California. You like those California values and threatening people that might expose you. I mean, I think that's a lot of prerequisite for, you know, becoming vice president or president or governor or anything you want to be. That's not leadership. That's a threat to the government, to your country. That right there, these things, are they treason? I don't know. How do you get that far? You're that big of an office. We have 2 minutes left. How do you get there? How do you not let that? This pitch was coming. They knew everything about it. They had all the plans from the last administration, and they couldn't get it done. What else can they not get done? Look, why the gas price is up? Why is wood up? You know, everything's up. groceries. Why is everything up now? But you're the guy that's supposed to unite. Well, as he says, unite, unite. I don't know. How is this working out for America? It's not, it can't be constitutionally friendly. It's about me, myself, and I don't care about the rest of you. That's how I take it. Because last weekend, a lot of people died. A lot of people were beheaded. For what reason? Seriously, this is a very serious thing here. A lot of people lost everything, and they will lose everything. There is no escape for those people. And guess who's responsible? Everybody says the United States of America. Even CNN is turning against the president and questioning Kamala Harris's abilities. So this is a very serious thing, and thank you, everybody, for joining in. The fall of Afghanistan continues, and we'll see what happens in the next few weeks. And I appreciate everybody for tuning in, and sometimes you have to be serious. Not everybody can do that, and thank you very much. Everybody have a great evening. See you again next week, Wednesday at 7 o'clock, another topic. Something maybe not as bombastic as this one, but this is always on my mind, you know, all week, so I had to say something. So goodbye, everybody. Have a good one. Oh!